Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask that you give us wisdom in hearing your voice and following you and going through our trials so that we can fight our battle better with the enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to continue with Trials of Faith Prepare Us for Battle, number 5. We're going to call this first one, Personalize Your Relationship, Anonymous. With a direct relationship in Christ Jesus to our Father, there is no middleman to corrupt and steal anything He has, and His will be done through us. I felt that the enemy tries to get in between us and God and steal what God has for us and what we can do for Him. Very true. Put me first, he says, and I will put you first forever. I felt we need to seek Him to do our best to give Him everything since it all belongs to Him. John 17 and 10 says, by the way, and all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them, meaning his people. Concentrate. I can reveal and guide you in all things. Trust in me. I have every good gift for you. I was reminded that the Lord can bring to our memory what I thought I had forgotten. And I also felt that when we make a mistake, to never look back, but to focus on the finished product. Yeah, Psalm 119 and 27 says this, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I meditate on thy wondrous works. In John 14 and 26, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you, a good promise. John 16 and 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you in all truth. We can count on it. Keep trying on task. And his note is attempt and don't worry about how, it's about why. We willingly do so as he puts it all in us. And keep trying with desire, seek him and his will be done. It reminds me of Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Proverbs 2. 4 and 5, if thou seek her, that is wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Keep trying as Christ in us would so, we would be refined for the kingdom. Amen. And that's Colossians 3 and 17, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. There is much to learn and do. Just concentrate on the moment. Be at peace. Do not get too far ahead of the current day. A good command from the Lord. Matthew 6 and 34. Be not, therefore, anxious for the morrow. For the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And also James 4, 14 and 15. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For you are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. Amen. Lay down the blocks and build for the glory of the kingdom. We are to give all our all to the Lord, to build his kingdom. Amen. And Psalm 145:12 says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as also you do. We can give nothing for God without offering our old life as a burnt offering on the altar of the fiery trials we go through. And we can't offer to him a blemished sacrifice of a life, as he said. And Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Amen. We can't live in the world and love the world and serve the Lord. 1 Peter 2:5, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Am I important to you? Then say that this is so. So we need to confess God to man and glorify him to man. That's what we're here for. Amen. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, he said. Also Matthew 10:32 says, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. We're here to be a representation of him. Be patient and faithful, he says, which are, of course, the fruits of the Spirit. And Hebrews 6:12, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We have to be patient in our faith to see things come to pass. Mark 11:23-24 tells us to speak it and believe we have received and we'll have it. Amen. We're lambs among the wolves, but I went before you and made it possible for you to conquer in all trials. So he suffered before us, and he enables us to have a relationship with our Father, the same relationship with our Father. Luke 10:3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Nothing you are experiencing is harder than what my son suffered and showed. His love for you was clear. See and know by faith how close I am to you. Cherish it. Amen. This should be our first love and only love, right? At the top. Question yourself. Is what you are doing out of love? Not how others can love you and benefit you, but what are you from their point of view? Would I approve of what you are doing to them? 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done in love. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Why do you want to do it? In love for me, or for self, or because of fear? Or is it because I am and love conquers all? That reminds me of Philippians 2:3-4, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. And also 1 John 4:16. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. Amen. Many have come before me and failed. And a comment here, he said, I felt there have been many who thought they were righteous and deserved to be accepted into heaven, but were denied for their self-works that were not for his glory. This is true. Now, we don't need to get ahead of him. He made the way for us. I am the way, right? We watch his footsteps. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, For by grace have ye been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. Rest in the promises and know why I need you. Well, comment is, he paid the ultimate price for us and has heavily invested into us to meet the need for those whom he has chosen. This is true. And he says, even a tiny light can overcome, overwhelm, and destroy the pitch black darkness. I was reminded of a watch I wore, a comment here, when I was a child, that I pressed a button and it was bright enough to see the dark at night. John 1 and 5, And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Very true. When you're a light and everything around you is darkness, you show up well, right? Speak and be the image of my light and my word, as my son has given you example. Be strong to never let anything change the Christ in you. We are conquerors, is the comment here, by his faith. You have two ears. You can't shut your ears, but you can shut your mouth, the Lord says. Well, my thought is two ears and one mouth show that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. We have more ears than we have mouth, right? That's designed that way on purpose. And comment was, I felt very convicted on what and when I should speak anything or if I should say anything at all. True, you know. I thought Psalm 141 and 3, Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. So there lacks no sin in much speaking, the Bible says, right? Be strong. Nothing can separate you from me. Do not let the darkness be able to cover the light. How can that be? Well, it's kind of like this in Matthew 5 and 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. So, let your light shine, right? The Lord says, You are dear and nearer to me than even the breath you have inside of you. Yeah, Romans 8 and 35 says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. Reach up, grab hold of me. Do you not see I await you, and that for an infinite eternal love relationship forever? Come, let us sup together. And that reminds me of Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. So basically, the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ is the fullness of God. Then we call this one LED. It's also anonymous, 1823. This was given. I saw myself as an LED on a giant electronics board. There were billions of chips, transistors, diodes, all sorts of linked in intricate ways, and many other LEDs too. Then I saw the LED as myself, light up as a small flicker. Then it was more consistent and brighter, and I felt that the power flowing through me was able to make the LED light shine. When aligned correctly to the way of the Lord, the great designer. Soon the LED grew so bright that nothing else of the bulb could be seen other than this intense light. So, I mean, the old flesh can't be seen. The brighter you get, that's what the only thing gets to be seen, right? Like a light bulb. You first turn it on, you see the container. But as it brightens, you don't see that. Then the Lord placed his hand on it, and the LED was able to spread to other areas on the electronics board as the other LEDs were lighting up and getting brighter. Amen. And all this is an act of God. He's a good coordinator, and he's bringing everything to a point here, you know. NENT, John 8 and 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spake to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Who followeth me shall in no wise walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Matthew 5 and 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And Matthew 5 and 16. Thus let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in the heavens. In Ephesians 5 and 8, for you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we need to let our light shine to those around us, especially in these days. Many people are, of course, marching towards destruction in these days. They need somebody to stand in their way and share with them the light. And this is a video game revelation also given to Anonymous 2022. I know this revelation may seem strange, but I used to play video games, and one particular video game came to me through a vision. I used to play before I was saved, but since I have repented and have nothing to do with them ever again. God is like the video game designer, and he is also the one playing the game. He has control over all things in the game. God only is sovereign and in control of all of our trials that have been specifically and personally designed for each of us, and he alone is sovereign over the devil and our enemies. This is true. We can trust in him. It gives great rest to know that he is sovereign and that he's working all things together for our good, right? I saw a video game that was a top-down view over a vast area of control. I saw how there were many things being done as though looking on the face of the earth and all of the people and what the Lord created. As I was watching, I saw many developments and changes occur. The perspective then zoomed in on one particular person who was the size of an ant. The person was in a frantic state, shaking their arms about and yelling up at the sky as though to the man in charge of the view above, from above. We should not be fearful or doubtful during trials, agreeing with what we feel and see, but instead only believing and speaking God's word, and casting down everything contrary to the word. We should ask God to give us grace to have faith during a trial. Amen. In the midst of it, don't fall apart. Talk to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We have to remember the word of God in our hearts, right? He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I know people who have been very faltering, but yet they play the word of God in their ear constantly off their phone, and it does such a good job on them. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And 10 and 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The people were crying and asking for help with words and bubbles of all the things they could not do. You know, the little bubbles that comes up on pages where people are speaking and it puts their words in the bubble, right? Then just as quick as they cried out, and were answered, they ran off and did more of their own things. Yes, there are a lot of people like that. They just want the problem fixed so they can do what they want to do, right? Job 35 and 9, by reason of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. I felt this had to do with the Christians who call out to God for help, and once that thing is fixed, they quickly forget the Lord and run off to please their flesh. This is common. Psalm 106 and 13. They soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. True. In 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your anxiety upon him because he careth for you. Hebrews 4 and 13. And there is no creature not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we don't want to just be users of God, right? We want to have fellowship with God so that he walks in us and talks in us and does his work through us. And this one we called Choose the Wild West Wilderness. This was Samuel 5, 4, 17, 23. I saw a vision of a pros and cons list. First on the right was written Christ, and on the left, Antichrist. Written underneath the Christ column was Christ is life, and on the opposite column were the words death and fake life that has an end. Yes, there's a lot of fake Christians out there who are not bearing the fruit of Christ, nor coming into agreement with Christ so that Christ can live through them, right? I then saw myself standing inside an old Western-style saloon bar, and I ran outside onto the dirt street into the hot sun, and I knew that this is life. John 10 and 10, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. The bar doors were still flapping, and I didn't even want to look or go back into that saloon bar. Through the trials, we are given a choice to choose life or death, the spirit or flesh, Jesus or the devil. And I would say, in other words, leave the beast kingdom of delusion of spirits, the way they use spirits in the world, you know, and enter the Wild West wilderness with Christ to find real eternal life. Amen. Some people are so distracted with everything in the world, they don't have time for the Lord. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, and unto all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And also Colossians 1:21-23, and you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before Him, if so be that you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached in all creation unto heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Amen. So, it takes time and thought to continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the gospel, the good news, right? The things of the world want to drag you away from the good news that is the power of God to save, right? Power in the Word, we call this, Samuel 5:4-23. I saw in a vision how fire, too close, will melt the fake, plasticky flesh, the carnality of vanity. And he says, submitting to God's Word in trials and tribulations caused the old man to die, and for the Spirit of Christ to shine through us even brighter. Psalm 119:28 says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Then as the length of exposure increases, the flesh will then catch fire and burn. And then the fire will spread to whatever is involved, like to witchcraft evil and to those in the apostate corporate body. So Isaiah 33:14-15 says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless ones. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? These are people, of course, that don't want to give up their life. They want to flee the trials and the tribulations, which are the way to Christ. Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? Those who want to lose their life to gain their life. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe, and that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. Yeah, there are many people that come to us and offer us evil, and we've got the rules laid down in the scriptures, but many ignore them for different reasons and are taken. Judges 15:4-5 says, and Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between every two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing grain of the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks and the standing grain, and also the oliveyards. So the strong man, right, who was Jesus, stronger, he was stronger than the devil, right? burned up the fruit of the old man to conquer our promised land. It's a done deal. Then I saw a soldier wielding a buckler to defend at the perfect time without any indication of an attack. Just prepared and ready. So when a threat is exposed to the elders, there is then the full arsenal to be set to defend the whole body, much like a commander of an army organizing the troops. A buckler is a smaller for personal close contact fighting. A shield is for a much larger attack to remain in position. Psalm 35 and 2, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Yeah. Well, his word is a defense we must utilize to defend and fight for his kingdom in unison as one body in Christ. Psalm 91 and 4, he will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. So these are wisdom of the word to defend against the wiles of the enemies. Many people, you know, go frantic when they're attacked by the enemy, but we need to use the shield and the buckler. And we call this Replace the Dross, Anonymous, 429-23. I heard in prayer, pause, think about me and what you are doing. Nothing in this world is perfect, and there is brokenness everywhere. Bits and pieces fall off things all the time. Well, we know that we're perfect by faith, but not necessarily by manifestation, and the faith in the Word enables us to get there. Psalm 147 and 3 says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. When filled with my love and Holy Spirit and led by Christ, there can then be growth into the eternal prize that I desire. Amen. Wrestle and pin down the enemy. Raise the flag of victory. Well, I thought when I read this that the Lord has given us victories over our enemies on many fronts here and overseas. And it seems to be a timing for us. Like in Isaiah 59 and 18, it says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. And that is happening here and overseas. We're seeing great victories. The enemy has been surmising the largest possible attack to stop my children from reaching their potential. Keep focused and look unto me and my promise. Remember, I need you, and you are indeed important to me. How do you get rid of dirty hands? Wash them. Then I saw us actually applying the blood of Jesus by faith and washing all areas and replacing everything, and thought it was with his presence and victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory you have given unto us. So we call this Defeating the Dragon with Jesus' Help. And this was given to Marie Kelton, 10:27-23. During the worship part of the meeting, the enemy was attacking my mind, but I was telling him to leave me alone. I then had an open vision of me putting on a white medieval helmet that covered my nose. That's the helmet of salvation. It protects your minds from the fiery darts that the devil wants to fire in there, right? I was in a cave and there was this big black dragon. I had a sword in my hand, and I knew I was supposed to kill the dragon. The dragon tried to attack by breathing fire at me, but I was able to avoid it by stepping behind a wall. Well, walls represent sanctification, you know, and there's safety in sanctification. A wall that was in the cave. I then stood back in front of the dragon, and I was wondering how I was going to defeat it. Then I saw Jesus come behind me and step inside my body. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Then I was able to swing the sword and cut the neck and the head off the dragon, off its body. So Jesus is the Word who lives in us, and when we speak the Word, His power defeats the enemy. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things in Him that strengtheneth me. So we're in the process of casting down the dragon of Revelation 12 as the angels fight for us, and we confess the blood, which of course gives them power over the fallen angels, right, the demons. And Ephesians 6 and 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen. We call this the Fiery Trials. It was by Milt Green. I want to share it with you. Peter said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are upon you to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. That's in 1 Peter 4, 12, 13, and 19. The fiery trials today are the efforts of the world, the flesh, and the devil to turn our hearts away from God. Every man will either come through the fire and be precious gold, with a divine nature, in other words, or else he will be a vessel of wood, hay, and stubble, which is burned up. And when the pressures and trials come, if we strike back at others, we break God's law and give the fiery serpents ground to build strongholds and destroy us. If anyone has a foundation built upon carnal doctrines, they have a false security. The fire will destroy all of those who walk after a form of godliness because they walk in disobedience. And anyone who stands on their carnal doctrines as a foundation is not standing on the Word of God. Their foundation is sand. They themselves are wood, hay, and stubble. And in the fiery tests, the fire will consume them because they have no hedge of protection from God. No other foundation except the Lord Jesus Christ can survive this fire, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. That's Luke 6:49. Everyone who follows after a doctrine that does not conform them to godliness is destroyed. And when you have a false security, you do not act on the Word of God. Paul wrote, Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire, the powers of darkness, shall try every man's work of what sort it is. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:12, 13, and 11. And this is why we need the true apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until Christ's love is perfected in us. And as you know, of course, that the man-child Jesus came and ordained apostles first and sent them forth to ordain the fivefold ministry. And there was a restoration of that by the man-child at that time, and it will be in this time too, a restoration of this. And it goes on that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, as in Ephesians 4:12-14. God has been testing the hearts of men since the day he put Adam in the garden. He offered Adam the tree of life or the tree of death. God still tests the hearts of all creation. Only the ones who love the Lord with all of their hearts and put their faith and trust in him will survive the fiery trials of this world. All others will break God's laws and be under the punishment and judgment of the law, because their hearts love idols more than God. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness, and despise government. 2 Peter 2:9-10. We either resist the flesh and the temptations of Satan, or else we walk after the desires of the flesh in unrighteousness, in which case we stay under the judgment and punishment of God's law. Now, he's not talking about the law of the Old Testament. He's just talking about God's law. We have a law in the New Testament. It's not treated as a law. It's treated as grace, but it is still God's law. And Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect. And that's because you are not being perfected in love, right? I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Hold fast to the gospel, right? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth it. Believe the good news. Don't study too much the bad news. Believe the good news. You will have power from God, right? If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. In other words, in judgment. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He that overcometh. Overcometh what? Well, that would be the world, the flesh, and the temptations of Satan, of course. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Revelation 3:1-3 and 5. Jesus is coming first like a thief in destruction. Jesus did not come the way the religious leaders expected him the first time. Neither will Jesus come the way the religious leaders expect him this time. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, that he will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses, you know, by the powers of darkness, obviously. And they are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Obviously, putting on the armor of God makes us invincible to the devil. Amen. People don't spend time doing that. Most all of the armor is all related to putting the word in your heart. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. A lot of people don't. They just consider it the normal Christian life. You know, this is Isaiah 42, 18, 19, and 21 through 25. The sleeping church is being destroyed today, and they don't even know it. They will scoff at warnings such as this. The fires of destruction are already being poured out among us, and the scriptures are not enough to lead most of these people out of darkness. This is the reason that only a remnant can hear. The others will not wake up. For them, it is business as usual. God warns us in his word. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And of course, Lot was going to that little city he spoke about, because it's not a lot of people that go there. Even in the parable of the sower, we can see that. But he escaped, and his wife was double-minded. She turned around and looked, and she became a pillar of salt. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? He won't receive anything from the Lord. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And this is how Jesus comes, as a thief upon the spiritually dead congregation that will not wake up and repent in these last days. The hedge is lowered, and he no longer restrains the hordes of the powers of darkness, which have been unleashed against the spiritually dead, fallen away church. And if you read these scriptures through the eyes of a carnal doctrine, you will be led to believe that the men who are taken from the bed or out of the field are raptured rather than destroyed by fire. And this is how the deception of darkness have come upon us today. This is why people are being burned and they pay no attention. And they don't see God as sovereign. They don't see God. When the devil comes against us, they don't see God in this, right? This is the fallen away church today, which practices sin or lawlessness. The remnant will love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts. They will be perfected in love and holiness. No one will be able to counterfeit the love that is perfected in the remnant. You will know them by their fruits. The stumbling blocks will also be evident and they will be destroyed. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Well, tares are evident because they bear the fruit of the flesh. Their fruit is very small and not very observable. Matthew 13:24-26. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That's Galatians 5:19. When we practice the deeds of the flesh, we bear the wrong fruit and break God's law. This is how men who teach doctrines that do not conform you to godliness lead you to walk under the judgment and the curse of the law. And this is how the church is being destroyed in the fire today. They have no fear of God as they teach a form of godliness and become stumbling blocks to others. The blind follow the blind and never bear the fruit of love. In fact, they cannot, because they are tares. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Matthew 13:40-41. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In other words, hate, anger, bitterness, sickness, pain, etc. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:49-50-43:2. There are hundreds of different denominations and teachings in this country today, and each one has its own form of righteousness. But there is only one true righteousness, and that is walking right in God's eyes. And when we establish our own righteousness, we do not submit to the righteousness of God. Israel departed from the law and righteousness of God to establish their own righteousness. Religions do that. We do this, we do that, so therefore we're okay. But what about straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel? Well, Paul said of them, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10:1-3. When the wicked think he is righteous in his own eyes, there is no fear of God. He is blinded to the judgment of God because he has a false security. And that's how millions are blinded to the judgment of the law today. Yes, and they create doctrines which protect them, you know, from any change that God wants to give them through the Word. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth, that's the powers of darkness, shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever. Isaiah 5:1-8. The righteousness of God stands forever because only the righteous will survive. God has set up laws to destroy those who are wise in their own eyes and will not submit to the righteousness of God. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth, that means remains or continues, in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John 15:5-6. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God's kind of agape love is the proof of discipleship, right? John 15:8. Jesus sets us free from being slaves of sin to become slaves of righteousness. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness, a pure heart, in other words, Romans 6:19. Paul said, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end eternal life. Through obedience we have a pure heart, and we are perfected in love to the fullness of the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. And when the Word of God and the Holy Spirit have removed the selfish nature of Satan, we no longer live for ourselves. Therefore, we have the nature of God and the love of others as Jesus loved us. And we have laid down our lives so that we can walk in God's kind of love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. He envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own way, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity, which is God's kind of agape love, never faileth. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. So the God kind of love is the only love which can love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. And the ones who come through the fire will have this God kind of love, which is the divine nature of God. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your wisdom, and we thank you for drawing us and giving us a desire to be corrected by your word and to hold it very close to us and to put time in on it, so that we have your conscience and serve you and not just be religiously lost people. Thank you, Father, for this. In the name of Jesus, amen.